Today, in our worship time, we're actually talking about Christian holy days and services of the Christian year. And it's really kind of neat because today I get to talk about Christmas. And today we bless our Christmas boxes to head off to where God knows they're going to go. So it's just really kind of neat how God ties a thread the whole way through everything that He does, that we may see His hand and not ours. So today, as we begin our time together in the Word of God, I'd just like to open with a word of prayer because I may challenge some of you in some of the things that I'm going to say today. Father God, we just thank You so much for who You are and Your Word and the hope that it gives each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that You would use me this day to speak truth, to speak wisdom, to speak Your Word, to hide me behind Your cross and bring forth Your Holy Spirit, that they may hear Your words, not mine. Lord, I'm just a vessel. Pour me out and pour Yourself through me. For these things I give Thee thanks, grace, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, thinking about worship and the things that come to mind, for me, one of the things that I often think of about worship is the events that we have throughout the year. Okay, now we all know we're getting ready to enter into Advent. We have one more Sunday, and then we begin Advent. And as we all know, Advent is just the beginning, because it's for the first several weeks, and then we have Christmas. And then after Christmas, we have Christmastide. And then after Christmastide, we have Epiphany. Okay, and they're all right in a row. It's Advent, Christmas, Christmastide, Epiphany. And it's a wonderful season of the year. And during these seasons, we do some real soul searching and moving into God's Word. During the spring of the year, we have Lent and Palm Sunday and Holy Week and then Easter. Okay, and Holy Week consists of what? Two special days, Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. So again, we have this period of time. It's a length, it's a season in which we have these special days. And then we have Pentecost, which comes after Easter is over. And Pentecost leads us into the rest of the year. And we call that the summer soldrums. Because during the summer, there's really no themes, there's nothing special. You know, it's just like, how do we get through this? What do we teach on? Well, Pentecost literally teaches us what we're to be teaching on for that period of time. Pentecost is actually the longest season of the year for a reason. And we'll find that out as we go through today. But one of the things that I need to ask you, and one of the things that I need us to understand, is as a biblical community, is there anywhere in the Scripture that it commands us that we are to celebrate Advent, Christmas, Christmastide, Epiphany, Lent, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, or Pentecost? Is there anywhere in the Scripture that it tells us we're to celebrate these days? No. In fact, if we look at the Bible, God is very clear that there are feast days that we are to celebrate. And those feast days are all Old Testament feast days. However, something happened and things changed. So today, I want to get us on the right mindset as to why we do what we do, even though we're not commanded to do it. Because there are a lot of denominations out there that are getting away from celebrating the holidays that we call holy days because they don't match with the secular calendar. So therefore, we're not going to call them what they are and we're going to change them. But for me, and I pray for you, we will begin to realize that we're called to something higher. And it's my prayer that you'll understand that. Because As we look at the Old Testament, we're going to find something happened that changed history. And it still remains today. Open your Bibles to Isaiah in the first chapter. Isaiah in the first chapter. And it's so amazing to me because it starts at the very first line in the book of Isaiah. And it runs for the next several verses. And God here is speaking to Israel, and he's speaking about the appointed festivals, because Israel was commanded by law to keep these feasts and festivals and seasons. But God here is about to do something that's going to change the course of history in a very real way. Let us read together. Please follow from the first verse of the first chapter of Isaiah. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, and the donkey his owner's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts, and open sores not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities burned with fire, your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in the field of melons, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, you ask, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. Your new moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I encourage you to continue on in those verses, because what you're going to find is the recipe for the disaster we're finding headed to the United States. Because we have walked away from our Lord. We don't celebrate Christmas anymore. We have happy holidays. Okay? We celebrate reindeer and snowmen and snowflakes and Christmas trees and elves and cookies and pies and cakes. It's called Christ's Mass for a reason. It's not Christmas. We just threw it together and made a new word. It's called Christ's Mass. In other words, a Mass for Jesus, a service for Christ, representing His coming to us. Now, was Jesus Christ born on December 25th? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. How do I know that? Because the shepherds were out in the fields. They don't go out in the fields in December, people. They go out in the fields in March, April, and May. Okay? Also, it is truly believed that the day of Christ's birth is the day that He also died. Theologians literally believe that Christ came, He who is the Passover Lamb, came on the day of the Passover Lambs. The Passover Lambs were brought into Israel 3 days prior to, or excuse me, 1 week prior to what? Passover. 1 week prior to Passover, the lambs were brought into town. Didn't the shepherds come into town that night to see what was going on? Huh, they brought their sheep with them. They don't leave their sheep out there. So when we start to think about just what's going on, our people changed a whole bunch of stuff. Why? Well, I hate to tell you this, December 25th is a pagan holiday. It's the winter solstice. And there was a great big party in Rome, above Rome, actually in Germany, the Germanic tribes celebrated, many of our ancestors celebrated a pagan holiday known as the winter solstice, because from that point forward, the days began to get longer, and they were worshiping the sun. Well, the Christian church said, hey, let's get them away from worshiping the S-U-N and start having them worship the S-O-N, for the light of the world has come. And we can take all this stuff that they already know and spiritualize it and get them to celebrate a day for the church. That's how Christmas came into being. Because prior to that, prior to the Germanic tribes coming into the Roman Catholic Church, Christmas wasn't celebrated. Why? Because the early church celebrated all the Jewish festivals. They celebrated the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Booths. They celebrated all the different things that God told them that they needed to do. So what happened, and are we right in doing what we're doing now? You know, we're here to worship, and our worship at this time of year really revolves around the coming of the Christ child, doesn't it? Well, folks, I want you to remember what we just read. God said to the people of Israel, all you keep on doing is flooding my altar with sacrifices and blood and these stupid festivals, and you think they're going to make you holy. You think they're going to save you. And they don't, because all the law does is point out sin. And when you depend upon the law rather than becoming righteous, now you have invalidated the very law that was meant to help set you free. So here's our God who loves us, who's given us the law to keep us within the reins of His kingdom. And He says, I'm sick of it. It has no value anymore. Why? Because it was no longer a heart thing. It was a head thing. Oh, this is good for me. If I kill a fatted calf, if I wring the neck of a pigeon, I can be right with God. I don't have to do anything. I can simply pay to have this done. How many of us still do that today? I don't want to do this. I'll pay to have it done. Okay? We still do it. It just looks a little different today. It just looks a little different today. Because we come into church, and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even up to Saturday, we live life the way we want to live it, right? But come Sunday morning, I'm walking into church. I got my holy face on. My question is this. God knows who you are Monday through Saturday. Do you think He recognizes you on Sunday? He just told those people He didn't recognize them. It's the same way for us. So what's going on here? What's happening? Because here we are, we're supposed to be doing the Jewish things. You know, we're supposed to be doing what Jesus did. Jesus was a Jew. He's our Messiah. And He followed all these rituals. Well, what we understand is something that they don't, or that they didn't, but that we now, because of the revelation of God's Word, have and understand. Do we need, as saved Gentiles, to remember the Passover from Egypt? Yes, we need to remember it, but we also need to remember that the Passover is Christ. So you see, we don't have to celebrate what happened in Egypt. We need to remember what happened in Jerusalem on a cross called Calvary, on a mount called Golgotha. Because there we meet our Passover. You see, we're not commanded to do any of these things. But out of God's command from the past, we see the fulfillment of all those things. The Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, all those things that they represent find their fullness in Christ. So we no longer celebrate the Old Testament feasts and festivals because they have their fulfillment in Christ. But as Christians, we celebrate what Christ has done and is doing in our lives and has done for us, who is the answer to the Old Testament antithesis of the feasts and festivals. Now, is it a wrong thing because we celebrate Christmas and Easter and Lent and Advent? No. It's actually a good thing because God judges the heart of a man, doesn't He? When you come in to Advent, when you come in to the season of Lent, when you come in to the reality of Pentecost, what are you looking at? Are you simply here because, wow, isn't that pretty? And I'm going to get gifts, and you know it's all about me and what I can get. Or is it about God and what He gave to sinful people like you and me, and all He asks back is that we worship Him and love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. In fact, I want you to turn there. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. In 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew chapter 22,37 through 40. Jesus is doing a teaching, and one of the teachers of the law tried to trip Jesus up and ask, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, this is amazing, because how many commandments are in the law? Thousands. Literally, there are thousands, okay? We look at it and we say, well, there are 638. No, there were 638 that the Jewish people added to it. But when you start looking at what God told the people, there literally are thousands. Many of them are repeats, but there literally are thousands. But here Jesus is, He's given the floor, and Jesus is getting ready to spell out the gospel of God. Here He goes, This is going to take another 5 hours. Let's read. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. I'll tell you what, that's a shorter sermon than was probably ever preached. He gave it to him. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the prophets and all of the law hang on these two commandments. So when we come together to worship, when we come together to celebrate the feasts, the festivals, the holy days of the Christian church, we're celebrating with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, the reality of what God has done. Remember what I said worship is? Worship is God initiating to us and then us responding to Him. How did God initiate? He sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He bled and died to take away my sins. Yeah, we know that song, don't we? Pastor can sing when he wants to. You ought to hear me in the shower. The dogs join in. Roo, roo. When we understand that what we're doing here is fulfilling the commandment, do you think God cares? Do you think God's going to look at us and say, oh, you didn't keep my festivals? No, He's going to say, oh, you loved my Son with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And you celebrated Him and what He did. We just sang the song. It's all about us, right? Oh, no, what did the song say? It's all about you, Jesus. You see, it's all about the attitude of our minds and our heart being one in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come to my house on Christmas, you're going to see a beautiful Christmas tree and lights all over the place and candy canes decorate my whole house. There's not one light, there's not a Christmas tree, there's nothing. Because in my house, Christmas is as Christmas should be to me. Because Jesus didn't come into the glitz and glitter. Jesus came into a cold, dark night in a stinking stable in a crowded town to a poor man and woman. So when I set my table at Christmas, I set my table in the joy of knowing that everything I have, God has given me and blessed me with. I don't have a lot, but what I have, I'll freely give away, just as He gave it away. I don't need to spend gazillions of dollars on good-looking things. Now, if you do that, hey, praise God, you go right ahead and you do that, because a lot of people draw enjoyment out of that and get great joy from it. Is it your heart to do that? If it is, then it's what? Right. It is worship. And it is good. But for me, it's not. I can't get into the consumerism of it. But for you who get into that, it's not consumerism, is it? You like to put up the tree and decorate and have people over. It's about what? The hospitality. Oh, I think that's Jesus, don't you? Because He accepts us no matter where we are. Wherever He finds us, He brings us in. But does He let us there? We talked about that today at discipleship hour, didn't we, Mitch? He takes us where we are. But when He's done with us, we're nowhere near the starting line. Brothers and sisters, as we look at Lent and Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday, we have to realize that this is the true Passover. What we're looking at here is the road that Christ took to get to the cross, and the road that we took until we came to the cross, and it's healing grace. You know, a lot of people have said to me, Pastor, why do we do Lent? what's Lent all about? You know, yeah, Jesus went to the cross, and you know, that happened so long ago. What's it mean to me? Lent is about your journey. How did you get here? What did God deliver you from? Where has He brought you? And do you think He's going to let you where you are? The answer to that's no. He has so much more for us. And that is Easter, because He takes the old, buries it, and raises up something new. New life, sinless. Not sinless, sinless. But then we start to add sin back on it, don't we? You know, for one moment in every one of our lives, we were completely and totally sinless. For one moment. And oh, what a short moment it was. But it was that moment, that very moment, that each and every one of our hearts said, yes, Jesus, cleanse me. Poof! In that instant, you were. But within the next few minutes, what happened? Our nature's still there, isn't it? We need Lent. We need Easter. We need Good Friday and Maundy Thursday. We need all these things to remind us and to give us the hope of the glory of God, that we may worship what He has done in our lives. Like I said, remember, all these things that happen in ancient times point to the Christ. Why do we want to look back to Egypt when we have God Himself in front of us? In the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a reason we do what we do. There's a lot of people out there who have said, oh, but that's wrong. The Bible doesn't say to do it. I'm going to pull the circular reasoning that I've been pulled on so many Christians for so many years. The Bible doesn't say not to do it. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? If my way of doing that is celebrating these things that Christ has brought into my life, because I see from the Old Testament to the New Testament His fulfillment of them, what should I worship? How should I worship? Because it says we're to worship in what? Truth and in spirit. Well, if I'm worshiping something that happened in Egypt, that Christ is fulfilled, why am I back here when here's the one who did it? That's not truth and spirit. That's tradition. And what does God say about tradition? You worship the things of man and tradition, but have not the Spirit. Woo! There's a change. You and I need to take that Spirit of God, and that brings us to the place of understanding what Pentecost is for. What happened at Pentecost? Does anybody know? Somebody tell me what happened at Pentecost. I want you in on this one. And not you.
I'm not hoping.
Okay. Brother David's a preacher. He doesn't need to preach. Somebody else preach. Come on. What happened? Jacob, what happened at Pentecost? Somebody help him. The Spirit of the Lord came down, and as tongues of flames came up on the people, and the Holy Spirit was given unto men. All right? And from that point on, God now lives with us and is in us. And we worship by the Spirit of God. And it's an amazing, amazing reality. Turn in your Bibles to John 14. John 14. This is my last scripture for today. 14:25. And then I'm going to read through 15:5, John 14:25 through 15:5, because I want us to understand that this is all a matter of heart. Everything that we're doing now in our New Testament faith is a reality of God looking into our hearts and bringing us out of ritual into relationship, Okay? These people in Israel, as we learned there in Isaiah, were stuck in ritual. They were performing something that got them off the hook, or so they thought. But Christ came because none of that worked. He got us off the hook. Now we need to worship Him in truth and in spirit. And He says, enable to do that, enable to, the way I want you to change and how I want you to be focused, here it is, okay? From the 25th verse in the 14th chapter, we read these words. All this I have spoken while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we understand that that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that's the work of Pentecost. It's the last of the seasons that we go through. The first season of Advent is the preparation, the longing for His coming. Then it is His coming. And then it's after His coming, how He's changed us. And that's called Christmastide and Epiphany. That's the revelation, Epiphany. How many of you have ever had an epiphany? An aha moment. Oh my goodness. Here it is. Okay? That's why Christmastide ends that way, because a lot of us went through our lives celebrating Christmas and not realizing it had anything to do with Christ. Ta-da! It's that ta-da moment. So then we go into Lent, and Lent is all about our journey. How did we get here? And then we come into Palm Sunday, and we realize, oh, Jesus is God, praise the Lord. And then we start looking at our sin and we get into Maundy Thursday and Good Friday because something has to die. But it's not us, is it? It was Jesus Christ. And on Easter morning, how many of us get up every Easter Sunday and we come in here and the first thing we do is we long to say, He is risen, because we want to hear it come back to us. He is risen indeed, because in His resurrection, we have the hope of glory. Because the grave could not keep Him. But you see, God wasn't done there, because He knew we couldn't stand it alone. We couldn't go it alone. So He brought us Pentecost. He brought us the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is the longest season of the year. Why is Pentecost the longest season of the year? Jesus said it. I just read it. He will teach you everything I have commanded. Why do you think Pastor stands up front here and tells you what the Bible says? You all have the book. You can read it for yourself. So why do we come in here to hear this idiot tell us all what's in that book? We already own it. For some of us, we've read it 50 times. Amen. Sometimes, what's that? Sometimes we need a big reminder. Keep going. A kick in the rear end. Sometimes we need somebody else walking beside us, don't we? Sometimes we need a little help. Sometimes it's just nice to know that we have company in the car. You know, there's a little girl that went to the doctors, and the doctor kept telling her, oh man, you don't need to worry, you don't need to worry. And the little girl said, "Oh, I know. I trust God. But sometimes," this is a little girl's words, "but sometimes I need somebody with skin on." God knows sometimes we need somebody with skin on. Because iron sharpens iron. Okay? There's a reason 16 ladies are down at Sandy Cove. Okay? There's a reason. There's a reason that 12 guys go on a fishing trip. And it has nothing to do with catching fish. There's a reason 12 guys go archery hunting every year here of late. It has nothing to do with killing deer. But it has everything to do with the fellowship and what happens while we're there together, loving God and allowing God to love us in His world, through His world. And that's what Pentecost is all about. Every week through the season of Pentecost, which begins after Easter and runs the whole way to what? Advent. It's the longest season in the year. We are here to be taught by the Holy Spirit. So those of you who come in here because I'm such an eloquent speaker, I hate to inform you, I'm not. God is. And I hope you're hearing Him through me. Because that's what this is all about. If it's about the Pastor Rich show, yeah, run and don't stop. But if it's about hearing Christ and worshiping Him and loving Him and learning from His Holy Spirit, I mean, that's why Brother Pete, I was so happy when Brother Pete said to me, "Pastor Rich, what are you going to do with the boxes?" "Well, we're going to pray over them." He said, "Well, there's a video, and I'd like to do this thing with seeds," and I was like, "Oh, yeah, you go, dude." And that's wonderful, because he got to share from his heart to the heart of the kids. I want more of that. If God has something he wants you to teach our youth, man, tell me about it. Now, if you come up to me and say, "I think, Pastor, that God wants me to preach," like that thing on the video that we did for Pastor Appreciation, I might ask you to write it out because I want to see what you're going to say. But I want you involved. This is your faith. It's not a it's not a spectator sport. It's a participatory reality. I need to look at my notes. I went through one whole page and didn't even look at them. I couldn't believe it. That was awesome. I mean, I generally have to come back and look at it, but it's like, wow. Look at that. That whole first page. I went from the top of the page to all the way to the bottom and didn't even look at it. Matthew scripture is down here, okay? So it was just so amazing to me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in this room. I've given Him my heart. I've given Him my mouth. I'll give Him everything that I am. Why? Because it's not about me. God said, "Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep." Okay? You ain't mine. I don't have anything to give you. It's got to come from Him. So I've got to surrender to Him so He can give it through me. Isn't that cool, Mitch? Matt, we just did that verse in our discipleship hour. We just did that verse in our discipleship hour. God knows what He's doing. And if we come to Him and worship Him in Christmas and Easter and Pentecost and we live that, we don't need to worry about the Old Testament stuff because Jesus is the fulfillment thereof. But we have to love Him and worship Him, what? In the attitude of our mind and in the attitude of our heart. Not in the ritual of coming every Sunday and I did my Christian duty. Because if that's where you are, go do your duty somewhere else. That may sound harsh coming from a pastor in a church that's this small. But it's a reality. Because if we're not in the heart of Christ, then the heart of Christ isn't in us. And we're going to hurt people. Am I making sense? I hope. I pray. So today, as we think of worship and just how worship is used and it's changed, and brothers and sisters, like I said, I'm going to challenge some of you here. We're not told to do this stuff. Christmas is a pagan date, 25th of December. Does it matter? No, not if the heart's right. Because it's where the heart is, okay? It's where the heart is, not in the ritual. So let us bring our hearts before God and worship Him in prayer. Would you rise? Father God, so much of our lives is about the situations and the things that we find ourselves in. And we consider worship to be something that it's really not. Father, it's not about bands and wonderful music and professionalism. Lord, it's about giving from our hearts everything that we are, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever it is, the truth of who we are. And Lord, when we think about what we celebrate as Christians, it's not anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't tell us to do this. So why do we do this? Because it comes from the heart. It doesn't come from ritual. Like you said, you're so sick of the ritual that you want rightness. And Lord, you call that righteousness. And Lord God, we only attain that when we bring Christ into us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we ask this day that as we learn anew and begin to truly move in worship as a church, that our worship would be full and complete, that we would worship with all that we are and even some of what we aren't, because Lord, you fill in the gaps. Father, we ask your blessing on this, our day, and we give you all that we are, that you may be glorified in all of our actions, in all of our words, in all of our thoughts, that we may truly be the image of your Son, which is the greatest act of worship we could ever give you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.